I'm Melly.
And I'm Chris.
And this is Beggar's Belief. Hoaxes, pranks, scams, shams, and charlatans. Stories that are beyond belief because someone is lying.
And it might be Mel.
No, I always tell the truth.
Does it mean it's me?
Yes.
All right.
It's the cat.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, and I'm telling you this as much as anyone else because this is episode one, is I'm going to put you in media res into this situation where someone is telling a lie.
Okay.
Making a hoax.
All right.
And you're going to have to guess what you think the actual hoax situation is.
Okay. I'm still on Twitter. This is how I get most of my news.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, great. So I want to put you pretend you are living in the small town of Hammond, Indiana. It's southeast of Chicago, if you follow the tip of the Michigan Lake. The year is 1921. Put yourself in. Talkie movies are still years away, but you can enjoy Valentino and the Chic, or Chaplin and the Kid. The most popular song on the radio is the Wang Wang Blues.
All right, that's not leaving my head.
We will listen to it afterward. It is the most 1920s song ever. At the time, Hammond City has about 36,000 residents, so it's not huge, but a respectable. And you know a fair number of people around town, and you recognize the name Frank McNally when you spot it in the local paper. He's a local guy, middle-aged, divorced, but his name appears in a wedding announcement, so he got remarried. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Somebody's getting some wine.
Yeah. And hopefully the blues do come later. Actually, yes. I know the story. Yeah. So the other story. So actually this works because almost exactly 9 months later in December, there's a birth announcement. So,
called it.
Yeah. Frank and his new bride have had twins.
Wang Wang.
Yeah. Honeymoon babies.
Right.
Honeymoon babies. It's the twins Wang and Wang. Then you see Frank's new name in the paper one more time. And it's because he's accusing his wife of murdering the twins.
What?
Yeah, that escalated quickly.
What?
So that story is not what it seems. What part of that would you think is not reality?
The fact that these people are like vibing out to the Wang Wang Blues and there's murder happening. Like, how could you want to commit any act of violence when your number one chart topper is Wang Wang Blues?
There you go.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Detective mode. The twins is a lie.
Maybe the Wang Wang Blues are the lie.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
No, don't take that from me.
No. So let's actually go back a bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Frank, again. Divorcee with two children from his previous marriage. Middle-aged, but his age and reporting is a bit muddled. But the only thing that all the reports agree on is that Frank really, really, really wanted more kids. Especially a son.
Okay.
I can find nothing else about this guy. I couldn't find an obituary. I couldn't find what he did for a living.
So as far as we know, he's still out there.
I actually do know he's dead.
Okay.
But, very little to exist. So he set out finding wife, who ended up being Hazel. Some reports say that they met through an advertisement. Some reports say that she was his housekeeper. Maybe he advertised for a housekeeper and ended up marrying her. I don't know. Hazel was also divorced, 26, and had an adopted son named Raymond from a previous marriage. These three children, none of them seem to have lived with the McNalls. So we're not really dealing with parents of the year here.
Okay, yeah.
They vary, with one exception. They don't come up again in the story. They're really not mentioned in any of the news reports. They just kind of evaporate into the... So, like I said, everyone knew Frank wanted kids. It's his only defining trait. And it seems Hazel was keen on giving them to... So much so that she insisted on giving birth unassisted.
Well, I mean, it is the 1920s, so...
Yeah, just solo the experience. Yeah, hardcore. Clean up your own mess. Bring them up.
Wow, this birth is souls-like.
So, resulted in fraternal twins, one girl, one boy. And she probably shouldn't have done the whole hardcore alone in a room giving birth thing because the kids were born with huge amounts of health problems. She and Frank named the babies Lauren and Lorene.
Lauren and Lorene.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds like a subreddit of bad names.
Won't get confusing at all, yes. But there's those health problems I mentioned earlier. Yeah. The babies had a skin condition and weak eyes.
Weak eyes?
Yes.
Weak eyes.
Hazel's cure that they should never, ever see the sunlight.
Okay. Go on.
Nosferatu hadn't been come out yet, but I'm picturing that scene at the end.
Yeah.
But it's very much the others, like, you know, shrouded windows kind of deal.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So every day, Frank and Hazel would go out pushing around a stroller that was completely covered by blankets and otherwise never took them out. Hazel was the only one who would handle these kids. She freaked out if anyone else was, like, even suggested taking care of them. The neighbors were obviously distressed by this. You have this age-different couple with this chronically ill babies who are being quarantined. The only person who ever seemed to go in was a nurse that they hired by the name of Mary Griffin. Hazel wouldn't even let her handle the kids.
So, would the nurse just show up and be like, yep, still got kids?
Apparently.
And go home with a paycheck?
Yep.
Like, okay.
Yep. There was definite failure to thrive situation going on. The gossip, there was a lot of concern. The baby should be babbling, crawling, and instead they have no energy in their stroller. They're just very poor health.
They just needed more enrichment in their dark enclosure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sit in the darkened box. It's, I mean, even the Skinner box experiment.
What's in the box? My kids.
Plus, relationship between mother and father, apparently really abusive. Hazel threw things, not always right in the household. So finally, one neighbor by the age Agnes Schmerner came over to visit Frank while Hazel was away.
Well, hello there. I'm just checking in on your kids. How's the kids doing these days? I haven't seen your little stroller cave in a while there. I just want to make sure you're okay.
So the babies are sleeping. While she's visiting, and curiosity gets the better of her. She sneaks in, pulls back the blankets, and found two porcelain dolls.
Oh. Well, I mean, technically, those probably shouldn't be in the sun that long, so they weren't wrong about that. And also, they're fragile, so I wouldn't want anyone else touching them either. But I wouldn't really say they have health problems.
So I know that this is probably not your biggest question at the point, but the brand of the dolls...
Actually, it was. Okay, where I was going next.
They were the F&B baby dolls.
F&B baby dolls. Okay.
Yes. I spent way too long trying to figure this out because it's spelled E-F-F-A-N-B-E-E, and I was thinking, is that Italian or French or stuff? But it was actually the initials of the maker, literally F and B.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway. So Agnes obviously freaks out by this and goes to Frank. Frank, in turn, says he knows what happened. Hazel had gone solo with the babies to specialists in Chicago to have them treated for medical conditions, and obviously while she was gone, she murdered the twins and replaced them with these two baby dolls. Hazel is arrested.
Okay. 1921 is a wild time.
Compared to some of the stories that we're going to be covering later, that's nothing.
I didn't say it's the wildest.
No one's being accused of witchcraft.
Well, not yet.
Yeah. So Hazel actually had another story after being arrested. She said she never had babies. In fact, she couldn't have them. The dolls were just her best attempt to fulfill Frank's desire for children.
Okay.
Frank disagreed, saying that no, he definitely had two human children named Lauren and Laureen, and Hazel had killed them.
Hmm.
So Hazel stood trial in October of 1922. It's at this point her story changes slightly.
Okay.
In court, she states that not only were there no twins, but Frank had known that the babies were dolls all along.
See, I know that the year 2024 is not great for mental health support services, but I know 100 years ago it was even worse. So, yikes.
Not only that, this whole thing, his idea, according to Hazel. She stated, and I quote, "His desire to pose before the world as a father became so acute, I agreed that I would hint to the neighbors that I was about to become a mother." Hazel claimed that Frank had just changed his story to claim that he didn't know what was going on to save face when the hoax was outed. Hazel almost shamed her husband for it, ripping into his masculinity by saying that he enjoyed playing with baby dolls.
Oh, yikes. No, honestly, that's the headline that would like crash the papers in 1921.
It did, unfortunately.
That's... Oh, there it is. All right. Yeah. People would have just been more frank about it.
She said she hadn't enjoyed keeping up the hoax, especially with the concerned neighbors. Again, quoting, she said, "It was a terrible bother. I was living in a neighborhood with a lot of old married women, and they insisted on advising me as to the care of my children to make them grow. They couldn't understand why they remained the same size."
You're a kid looking a little, on the small side there. Exactly. Are you feeding them the vegetables? Like,
slightly hurt to the touch. Frank, however, held to the story of murder and replacement.
Ooh.
A doctor was brought in who had examined Hazel in her pregnancy. But this is 1921, and the first pregnancy tests were years away, and they involved injecting pee into a rabbit.
All right.
I don't know if you knew that.
I know now. I have that information in my head.
Almost a decade off.
All right.
At the time, you just, like, looked at a woman really close. It was advanced guessing with a degree.
I mean, honestly, some medical science still is, so yeah. It's not... Okay, okay.
Yeah. The nurse, Griffith, she took the stand and said she never really saw the babies the whole time she was there being a nurse.
Again. Sure. Yeah, well, I think you've got kids. Paycheck and go home.
It might be time to give that number one nurse coffee mug back. To quote, I frequently saw her nurse them, or at least she appeared to nurse them. And Mary was really pissed if she had been fooled. I read that she had sat with Hazel for 9 days while she pretended to care for dolls.
Huh. At what point do you go, these are the quietest, most well-behaved children... Tiny little babies I've ever been around. How you're raising them so right, actually.
I couldn't find this in any, like, contemporary thing, but in later things, people were saying that, she had a recording of baby dolls crying and stuff, but that was, like, accounts written much later, so I don't know what to make of that.
And especially, like, 1921, having a recording of baby dolls crying, it's like, let me go put on the record player for your favorite song. This is the Wang Wang Blues. And it's just screaming and crying. Sorry, you can't hear the music for the children.
So the defense fired back with its own medical testimony, saying they planned to bring in the doctor, W.W. Kelly, who had performed
Somebody with initials for names.
Yes.
This is bad.
He had performed Hazel's hysterectomy years before the marriage, and that Frank had known that Hazel was unable to have kids all along. Having had a hysterectomy, I can tell you that, like, you need a uterus to carry a baby. You can't just stick a baby in wherever you want, like a king cake.
Are you sure? How did we get Mardi Gras?
How did we get
Mardi Gras, Mel?
It was all about the beads.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Hazel's comment on stand. I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't care. I only wanted to get away from him and his dolls. So I was arrested for assault when I bashed him over the head with the mop and later for murder. But now I am free, and the joke is still on Mr. McNally. But really, he had all sorts of fun out of it. He rocked the babies, wheeled them around in the baby buggy. What more of could a man of his age want than doll babies?
I could probably name a few things, but everybody has their joys, and I'm not gonna... I'm going to judge on this one, though.
That was her quote, not mine.
Okay.
The press is eating this up, right? Articles ended up in the New York Times. Nobody could decide quite what was going on, what was the hoax, what wasn't. And the coverage is weird because the punchline to all the coverage is, haha, Frank was the victim of domestic abuse. I mean, things sucked at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was also a sort of pearl-clutching response that other women might fake having babies as well in order to shirk their duties as mothers.
Of course.
Yeah, 1920s, there was a whole lot of negative. You know who was thrilled, though? Knew exactly how to respond. The F&B company.
Of course. This is great marketing.
Oh, they loved it. One of their ads read, when they are produced so close to life that they fool the father and the neighbors, that's going some.
Let's go in some.
And I have to say, for a while, this whole thing screwed up my algorithm online so badly that I just was getting ads for vintage F&B dolls. My favorite was a doll from the era with a fixed cracked head, and it was on eBay for $11,000 because they said it was haunted.
Of course, because the ghost gets in through the crack, and then we sealed it in there.
Yeah. This wasn't even, like, the doll that people thought was a person. This was just a... This one looks slightly creepy. Obviously, it's fun. So Judge Henry C. Cleveland was as aghast as anybody about this. Before he could try a murder, he had to first find out that there was ever living beings. And the prosecution struggled with this. Frank finally admitted on cross-examination that in the year of his children's lives, he had never ever seen their faces. And they couldn't find anyone else who said that they had either. So the case is dropped for a lack of corpus delicti before the defense could even call a single witness. There's zero evidence that the twins ever existed.
The body of evidence is lacking, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. One witness who never took the stand was the mother of Hazel's good friend, childhood friend, Rhea Kahn. Her testimony was going to be that Hazel had actually done this stunt before, faking a pregnancy and turning up with dolls when she was 16.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Frank himself held that his children had been murdered until his death a year later in 1923.
All right.
So, As Hazel left court, reporters asked what she planned to do with her life, and her goals were simple. Divorce Frank, go to law school, and buy two replacement FNB dolls. Hashtag non-spawn.
Well, no, wait, if you want to sponsor us...
No, FNB unfortunately closed years ago.
If this somehow slips through a time crack a haunted doll's head and makes its way back to 1923 on some wonderful radio program and you want to sponsor us in the future, buy us war bonds. We will cash them when this airs. Thank you. That's something.
I accept this, yes.
All right.
Yes. She was photographed with the new dolls and went on to live an unremarkable life.
Unremarkable!
So, three big questions. Were there actually twins?
I believe there were twin dolls.
I don't think they were humans.
And especially, like, Frank being the, from what I'm gathering, type of human being he was at the time, especially a man, 1920, older, that would never, ever come clean and admit to something like this. Like, that's more than tarnished.
Well, that's the second question. If there were always dolls, how in on this was Frank?
I'm fairly on the fence that, like, all on the other side of the fence, actually, that Frank was in on this. Like, Frank would
I venture towards that, except for the fact that he hired a nurse.
See, I just think, though, it's just more to keep the illusion going. If you're going that deep, why not go further? If people in the neighborhood see a nurse coming and going, like a wet nurse, somebody, it's like, oh, these children, like, they're so not well, but they're trying so hard as parents to give them good care.
Yeah.
Just doubling down on that illusion. But also, again, just back to my thing earlier. These children, as far as we're concerned, never made a sound, never made a peep. Just, Frank was a child once. Frank has other children.
Yes.
Isn't this odd, Frank, that you suddenly...
He has other children who apparently just disappeared in the very beginning of this story.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the company had a recall on those dolls. Like, I don't know. But... I think Frank was in on this.
Okay.
Big time.
The third question was what was their long-term goal? And I actually think I might have figured out kind of what that idea was. There were advertisements placed in newspapers that they thought came from the McNallys that they were looking to adopt a baby. In the 1920s, adoption was like this very informal affair. I think, and Hazel actually was quoted by a neighbor saying, you can't find a baby when you need it. So I think the idea was, let's swap it out. When we adopt a baby, we just suddenly have this baby. If it's a boy, we say that Laureen died. If it's a girl, we say Lauren died.
Oh my gosh. The ultimate insurance policy.
Exactly. And then they could pass it off as a biological child. Because there's also a lot of stigma going around about adoptions. But I think that it was, they were either unable to find a baby completely, the scheme fell apart, they got too wrapped up in it, too close to it, people were being too nosy, whatever, it didn't work out that. I don't have any proof for that, but my reading of the material, I really think that's what happened.
Yeah, no, that checks out. I follow that logic, which is disgusting and terrifying and awful. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't like most people. That's why I'm behind the microphone, but that's just terrible.
Yeah.
But again, especially like, I don't know. I just also hate the fact, especially, that I thoroughly believe that Frank was very much so in on this from the beginning, masterminding it, and Hazel, being a woman in the 1920s, was most likely seen as hysterical, off her rocker, and...
So, Frank was, in the news, Frank was very much seen as this, like, browbeaten little boy, and Hazel was seen as this kind of boss babe figure, but then it's like... She talks about breaking broomsticks over his head and throwing stuff at... Like, it was an incredibly violent household from all accounts.
Honestly, I'm shocked the doll survived.
Like, they're made of porcelain. those blankets over top of them really protected them. They were very padded. Yeah. But yeah, that is
it the keeps story. The story straight or it gets the doll again. Yes, honey?
But that is the story of Frank and Hazel McNally. And they're two not children.
I love that it's only going to get weirder from here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was just a lesser known one that I had tripped over, like, years ago that I've wanted to flesh out. And this was my excuse to go through a whole lot of old newspapers.
I'm so glad you did. Because now this just lives rent-free in my head with all the other useless, horrifying knowledge that rumbles around up there sometimes. And some night at 2:57 a.m., I'm going to sit awake in my bed and go, porcelain. And my spouse is going to have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be hilarious.
And it's better without context, and yeah. I'm just going to go back to sleep.
Yeah. I'm going to be out there at the antique stores looking for F&B dolls.
There's the Patreon idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Merchandise, Mel. Merchandise.
Okay, we aren't going to go for the haunted ones, though. They're just too expensive. They're going to be totally ghost-free. Or we could put the ghosts into them ourselves and have organic hauntings.
Or... We let our lovely audience fund a haunted one for us.
You're assuming we're going to have an audience. This is episode one.
Wendy's listening.
Yeah, that's true. The cat is half asleep. The cat isn't even listening.
But not completely asleep.
Okay, there you go.
Dang it.
So that was my first script. You want to sign off?
Yeah. What are we called again?
Beggars Belief.
My brain is like hyper-focused. When the Porcelain Twins came up, I was just like, oh, yeah, we're recording. So anyway, that's been Beggar's Belief. And take it from my side of the mic, don't believe everything you hear.